You can be angry at God, but you can't ignore Him. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a program designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Now get your Bible, and let's study together.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Micah. As we continue with our Old Testament survey, we spend some time looking at the historical setting. We've talked about the dating of the book of Micah. We've seen him as a prophet to both the northern and southern kingdoms. And what I'm doing is giving you some general themes that you'll find as you read through the book of Micah. And these are kind of overriding themes. And I'm going to give you the final of all of those today. We have seen by way of major themes in Micah that God has a particular aversion to great people, that God has a singular hatred of meaningless, empty religiosity, that God has a remarkable love and patience in the presence of sin, that God has a spectacular plan for the future. In Micah, you'll find the prediction of the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, and then the further prediction that someday, sometime, someplace, he will be King of Kings and every knee will bow. And then there's a final major theme before we turn to the text of Micah. In this book, you see God's absolute inability to be ignored. Look at Micah 6, 1 through 2. Hear what the Lord says, arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people. He will contend with Israel. I have a friend. I remember before she became a Christian, I was the pastor of a church, and we used to, every quarter, and I know most Presbyterian churches don't do this, but we had healing services, or we had prayer services for healing and for people's needs, and elders would anoint the people with oil and pray for them. We did it in the context of communion. And those were interesting times. Those of you who are a part of that church, and some of you still listen to me, you will remember those days. Every quarter on Wednesday night, we would have these anointing services where we would pray for the sick. And there was a lady in the church who had been thinking about becoming a Christian for a long time. She didn't know about these healing services or about these services of anointing for people's needs. And we saw God do some spectacular things. I talked to her about Jesus a lot. And I liked her a lot. She was a lady from England, and she was very thoughtful. She had a tinge of intellectualism to her, and as you know, if you got an English accent, you sound like an intellectual anyway. So she decided one Wednesday night she's just going to come to church because she knew we had services at the church, and she was late, and she walked. She walked in the church during one of these services, and sometimes Jesus was there, and he was there in a wonderful way, and you could sense it. And she came thinking I was going to teach the Bible the way I usually did, and we were going to sing a few songs, and then we'd go home. We didn't even take up an offering on. We didn't do the spiritual thing that Presbyterians always do. I taught the Bible, and we sang a few songs. Well, I was preparing people for communion and for the anointing with oil for the healing. And I looked up, and my friend walked in the back door of the church. She walked down the aisle looking for a seat. Then she stopped dead in the aisle. And I wanted to just stop and say, young lady, sit down. This is for you. This is for sinners. But I didn't want to embarrass her. So I just watched her. She stood there, and she looked around. And then she did a total turn and walked out the door of the church and left. And I said to her later, I said, what did you do? I mean, you came to church and I thought you were looking for a seat and then you turned and ran. What happened? She said, Steve, let me tell you. She said, I'm probably going to be a Christian. I'm thinking about it, and it makes more sense than anything I've ever seen. But when I walked into that church that night, it was so real that I thought, I'm out of here. I'm not ready yet. And so she turned and she left. You know, that's the experience of everybody, because God is everywhere. Have you ever noticed how atheists yell so much? You know, if I didn't believe in something, I just wouldn't believe. I mean, it'd be cool with me if you want to believe in something that weird, but, you know, I just kind of let you do your thing. But, man, they've given the microphone to these guys that are unbelievers, and they're going to court, and they're yelling that their kids are being taught bad stuff. Why are they doing that? Because they can't get away from God. Just like that lady who walked into the church and left. She thought, I don't want this. I want to be autonomous. I want to do what I want to do. And if there's a God, I can't. I'm out of here. Now, you watch the people who yell too much, because they're having to confront the reality of God. The angrier an atheist gets, the closer the atheist is to the kingdom of God. You ever think how hard it would be to not believe in him? Oh, man, it'd be so hard. I mean, every time a politician gets up, he nods in the direction of God, and the atheist has to pretend he or she didn't hear it. And funerals, oh, man, funerals are awful. I mean, how'd you like to be an atheist and have to go to your mother's funeral or anybody's funeral? I mean, the corpse is right there at the funeral home. I mean, everybody, if you open the casket, and sometimes they have them with the casket open, I mean, that's a corpse. And that means you got to face your own mortality. That means that you got to think, you know, they're going to put me in a casket too someday. And then you start thinking about God. You got to be careful if you're not going to be a believer. And don't go to any library, any place, because you might think. And if you start thinking, you might think about God, and then that would mess up everything. It's hard. You can't ignore God. God is everywhere. When you look at the sunset, when you look at the beauty of the world and the way it comes together and it fits, when you listen to music and wonder why music is beautiful, when you see art and you say, I'm so moved by that, but you don't know why you're moved, you better be careful, because you can't ignore God. Now, those of us who are believers, you know, we know that. And we don't try to. Well, sometimes I do. But most of the time, we want to be close to God. We want to walk with him. And once you want that, you see it every place you turn. It's hard to be an unbeliever. And in the book of Micah, you find that it's very hard. It's one of the major themes to ignore God. All right. Let me become a tour director and at least begin this tour. If you have your Bible, look at Micah 1:1, where the book opens this way. These are messages from the Lord to Micah, who lived in the town of Moresheth during the reigns of King Jotham, King Ahaz, King Hezekiah, all kings of Judah. These messages were addressed to both Samaria and Judah and come to Micah in the form of visions. Now, we've seen this when we were introducing this book, but this is a farmer. This is a redneck. I mean, Moresheth is the sticks, and he's moving in and speaking to the great of the world, and he's speaking God's message. And the thing that you sense throughout the entire book of Micah is that he knows who he is. And he knows the only reason these kings are listening to him is that he is a representative of God. Edward Elson, one of the former chaplains of the Senate of a number of years ago, was an acquaintance of mine. He used to live near a church where I was. And one time he invited me over to his home for lunch. And we had a great time, and he had a great story. He had served under a number of presidents. He knew most of the politicians who were famous during that time. And I said, could you tell me some stories? And he told me wonderful stories about places of power in Washington and where he had been allowed to go and speak the message of God. And then he said, if you'd like, I'll show you some pictures. And he had scrapbooks. And we sat out in the front yard on a bench, and Dr. Elson turned the pages of the scrapbook, and I'd point at a picture, and I'd say, who's this? and he would tell me the story. And I remember just before I left, I said, thank you so much for this lunch. I've had a great time today. Man, you really are something else. You've been places most people never get a chance to go. You know what he said to me? He said, Steve, if I ever started thinking that, then God would never use me again. I'm showing you all of these things, and I'm telling you all of these stories because I was the king's representative. And what a wonderful privilege it was. Well, Micah, if he were here, we would say, Micah, you got with some of the biggies. I mean, you're a country boy. You didn't even speak perfect Hebrew. You've never been to a rabbinical school. I mean, you're a redneck. Look at all the places you've gone and the things you've seen and the messages you spoke. You're something else. And Micah would say, oh, no, I'm not anything. I'm a nobody. I'm just the messenger of the king. The point, you are too. Let's think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our Christmas Meditations booklet, I'd love to send it to you. Now, this is a devotional booklet to help you get through the Christmas season without becoming a Scrooge. They're devotional questions. They're scripture included. You're going to like this, and it'll be helpful. And it's free. All you got to do is let me know. It's called the Christmas Meditations Booklet. By the way, we have this on CD, and if you'll ask, we'll tell you how you can get that, too. You can get it by the booklet free by calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, Key Life Canada Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And listen, if you could help us, financially, I sure would appreciate it. In fact, I'll send you the Christmas Meditation CD for any contribution of any size when you ask for it. Or, if you would prefer, Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation, a single cassette teaching. But listen, pray about it. I so much need your help. This is a very expensive ministry, and I promise we'll be faithful with your gift. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And when you write or call, give us the call letters at this station. And one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Networks.